On Monday's show, we will. Oh, what are we talking about? Stephen Milhauser. Hi. Mickey Rourke once quit acting in films to become a professional boxer, but he has returned to the big screen, and ironically, his latest role is of a wrestler who can't quit. The wrestler in which he plays, a lonely, washed-up fighter, won the Golden Lion for Best Film at this year's Venice Festival, and early reviews are predicting an Oscar nomination for Mr. Rourke. Marissa Tomei and Evan Rachel Wood are also in the cast, and Darren Aronofsky, who both directed and produced, joins me now to talk about The Wrestler, which opened this past Wednesday at Landmark Sunshine Cinema on East Houston Street and the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas on Broadway. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Mickey Rourke spent 5 years getting hit in the face when he was a professional boxer in the 1990s, and he seems made for the role, and yet didn't he get it only after Nicolas Cage dropped out?
Actually, Mickey was always the first choice. It just took a very long time to raise the money to make it happen because every financier in the world didn't quite believe in Mickey Rourke. And so
he had burned an awful lot of bridges behind him.
Yeah, I think he and he takes the blame for it, you know. He takes at least he's a man about it.
I spoke to an actress who worked with him.
Oh, yeah.
She told me that it was really difficult, and one day she saw him lying drunk on or something, lying on the street in Hollywood. And she thought, should I go over and help him? Nah. So he really must have upset people. Yeah. But a reviewer pointing out that this is perfect casting wrote, would Casablanca be cherished if it had starred Ronald Reagan as originally intended and not Humphrey Bogart? Is it possible to conceive of There Will Be Blood without Daniel Day-Lewis in the leading role? And he says Mickey Rourke is the only person for this. And it is amazing. Are those scars on his face makeup or are they all real?
Well, there's a couple of prosthetics on there, but most of it is you see what you got. You know, it's right there, and he's fully – there's no vanity, and he's just very present with who he is.
He's playing Randy the Ram Robinson, a former pro wrestling star who's still performing decades past his prime.
Yeah.
And he has all of the stuff that he used to have. Still has the long blonde hair.
Yeah.
He tans to make himself look better. He's obviously pumped up with steroids. How did Mickey Rourke get that pumped up body? I can't believe he took steroids.
No, well, he's been an athlete his entire life, and he's been in shape, and I think he's kind of a gym rat. And he spent about 6 months lifting weights for the part, taking in, I think, about 6,000 calories a day. So it was a lot of work to get there, and he did about 3 months of wrestling training. I actually thought because he was a boxer, it would be easier for him to be a wrestler, but it was actually, I think, twice as hard because boxers just move a totally different way than wrestlers do.
He says he spent all that time developing those graceful moves, and in wrestling, there are no graceful moves.
Yeah, well, it's a different type of grace. You know, one is about hiding your punches, and one is about showing your punches. So.
But he also said he had reservations about getting back into the ring, even for a movie, and that he didn't know if he wanted to do a wrestling movie because it seemed too close to boxing, which is something he was trying to get away from.
I don't think that's really the reason. I think he connected a little bit too much with the Rams' sort of fall from fame, and I think that's the emotional thing is, I think, what he was afraid of.
Well, almost every article I've read about the film points out the parallels of the lives of Mickey Rourke and Randy the Ram. And everybody's saying this is Mickey Rourke's big comeback. Mm-hmm. He was always a great actor, but mm-hmm. he let us down again and again.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about this whole journey with the film since Venice has been how many closet Mickey Rourke fans there are out there, people who really are excited that he's done some good work and remember the great work he did back in the day at Popa Greenwich Village and Angel Heart, and they just are excited to see him doing some good stuff.
What about for you? Is this something of a comeback for you after The Fountain, which was probably your least well-received film?
Well, I've just been on the road, and I think my biggest, the most passionate of my fans are the ones who are fans of The Fountain. So it's a very divisive film, and but the people who get it really, really get it and really are happy that it was made. So for me, I just really wanted to do something radically different than anything I've done before, and this film was a way to do that.
How did you wind up with wrestling, of all things?
Well, it's such a phenomenon in America. You know, it's such a big thing, but I think most people write it off as a joke because it's fake. But the reality is if you're a 300-pound man, you know, jumping off the top rope, you're going to feel it the next day. And the more research I started to do into it, the more I realized, wow, there's a whole world here, and I just wanted to uncover it.
And you really do deal with the fake. And at the same time, we're fully aware of that these people are hurt all the time,
yeah.
And they bleed, even if sometimes the bleeding is self-induced.
Exactly. I mean, wrestling is as much a sport as it is theater. And, when you go backstage, it feels like a theater company more than it does, a sporting event. And I think this film was the first time to go behind the curtain and sort of show what these guys' lives are. When we were doing the research, we met all these legends, people that used to sell out Madison Square Garden back in the day, sell out 50,000 seats, who are now performing in front of 200-300 people.
And that's what happens to Randy. He once drew 1 million viewers,
yeah,
in a pay-per-view, and now he's working before small crowds in VFW halls.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reality of these guys, That's
and then a doctor tells him to quit. And that is like what happened with Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke, as I understand it, won all 8 of his professional fights when he was a boxer, but he ran the risk of suffering permanent brain damage if he continued.
Yeah, that's at least the story I hear. I wasn't
you're
there.
Not sure of, you're not sure of what to believe, what not to believe?
Well, Mickey's definitely a storyteller, but all I know is he's a completely unique individual, and he's unlike any movie star out there. And I think that's what's exciting, is that, you get to see a film where the lead is just very surprising. And for me, as a fan of movies, that's why I go to the films, is just to see a performance I'd never expected before.
But what about as a director? Because he came with a reputation of being capable of being a very great actor, but also sometimes just not doing the work. Did you have to do things to motivate him to do this performance?
Every day. Pushing, pulling, everything, anything and everything possible. If there is a great accomplishment in this film, it's the fact that he never wears one pair of sunglasses in the entire film. And that's Mickey's just... you look into his eyes and you see a lot of pain. He had a hard time, and he does anything to, keep people away from that pain. So he's wearing sunglasses and he's dressing up like a clown. But once you get him and you look into those eyes, they're just extremely unique.
Wim Wenders, the German director who's president of the 7-member jury at Venice, said, "This is for a film with a truly heartbreaking performance in the very sense of the word. And if I say heartbreaking, I'm talking about Mickey Rourke." And he suggested that Rourke should have been named the best actor as well, given the best actor prize, but that the rules of the Venice Festival were that the winner of the Golden Lion couldn't also have another prize.
Yeah, it was a very difficult situation because we're standing right next to the guy, the Italian actor who won the Best Actor's prize, and I could only sympathize with him. So I felt terrible, but ultimately we won the best prize, so it was fine. And it was way beyond any of our expectations. I mean, everyone dreams about winning the gold, but I can honestly swear that I never even thought it was a possibility. So it was way beyond their expectations.
Well, you've been nominated for Golden Globes and all sorts of other things. So yeah. I guess it snowballs. You win Venice, and the next thing you know, everybody's taking you seriously.
Well, it's just, people are laughing with the movie, and they're crying with the movie, and they're feeling the movie. And as a storyteller, that's all you want. And so that's the big reward. All this other stuff, I guess, makes it more visible in the landscape.
Well, Mickey Rourke has called The Wrestler the best movie he's ever made, but also the hardest. Is that because it was so physically demanding or because the director was so demanding?
I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, as every weekend we had to do a wrestling event, but also during the weeks he was doing really hard emotional scenes. And Mickey's a method actor, and so he has to dig deep into the well and go back to those demons and dark parts of his soul and pull them out for everyone to see. So when we finished, he was sick for 4 days, and I mean out cold sick.
Well, the character he plays is somebody who's all too human. He really screws up a lot. We understand how he screws up. He's also not the brightest guy that ever lived.
Yeah.
Was it written that way?
Well, Mickey's actually a very, very smart guy. And so he
had... No, but I mean, did he give him all those subtle gradations?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, between action and cut, you can't imagine anyone more natural. He's just so there and so present and so effortless that it just doesn't sometimes feel like acting. But of course it is, because the camera's right there. But the character does have some self-awareness. There's a few times when the character realizes what he's done to himself, I think.
I'm talking with Darren Aronofsky, who both directed and produced a film called The Wrestler, which opened this past Wednesday at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema and also at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas. It's shot in a grainy, naturalistic style with a handheld camera, and you made sure that all the locations were real bars, real wrestling arenas.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea was to stick Mickey Rourke in as much reality as possible. So we actually put on real wrestling events with real wrestlers and real wrestling fans and stuck Mickey right in the middle of it.
So he had to do all his own stunts?
He did every stunt except for there's one where they jump off of a ladder through some glass covered in barbed wire, and Mickey didn't have to do that, but he did do everything else.
Well, I could appreciate not wanting to put your star through that.
Well, actually, you know, what he put me through, I wouldn't have minded.
I see. What about the cinematographer? This had to have been a real workout for him because
it's actually a she.
She. Oh, yeah. She's a documentary cinematographer.
Maurice Alberti, and I really loved her resume. I'd never worked with her before, but you know, she did these independent films called Happiness and Velvet Goldmine, so she had that track record. And then she had a kid and decided to stay home more, and she started to do documentaries. So she did Crumb and Taxi to the Dark Side, which just won the Oscar last year, and Enron. So she was a perfect match for me because she had done the narrative film making, you know, thing, as well as she had, you know, had done documentaries. So it was the perfect approach to this film.
But that also led to a different kind of style for you, because there are a lot of jump cuts in this film.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of things that you haven't done in the past.
Well, I just, you know, I think as a creative person, you got to mix it up. And for me, the whole idea of this was to do a documentary of Mickey Rourke playing Randy the Ram Robinson in The Wrestler. So it was a very small crew. It was a guerrilla crew, just a camera and a boom operator and a sound mixer and me, and we just went for it.
And three wonderful stars.
Absolutely.
We're not mentioning Marissa Tomei, who does an incredibly brave performance here.
Yeah, not just brave. She adds tremendous complexity to something that could have been much easier to do and much more straightforward. You know, she plays a stripper, and the reason it works really well and why I kept it as a stripper is because there's just so many parallels between stripping and wrestling. You know, they both have fake names. They're both on stage creating a fantasy for the audience, and time and age is their great enemy because it threatens their work. So,
you make that point. At one point, some young guys call her much too old, reject her for being too old.
Yeah, so they're both going through very similar things. So even though she's a love interest, she's also a mentor for Mickey's character.
And then there's, I never know whether it's Evan or Even, but
Evan.
I thought it's Evan.
Yeah.
Rachel Wood, who's this astounding young actress, and she plays his estranged daughter.
Yeah, she's a firecracker, to say the least. So much talent. You know, in 13, I guess, which is when I first saw her, she just blew off the screen. And since then, she's just been amazing. And she actually gave Mickey a real run for his money at times. And Mickey had a hard time keeping up with her.
I read somewhere you used to say to him, she's wiping
the floor,
with you.
Yeah, well, you know,
had to do things to motivate him.
Yeah, well, Mickey's one of those guys, I don't know, you remember those guys in high school who never had to do work, but they always got B pluses. He's got so much talent in his pinky that he can just put his feet up on the desk and kind of coast. So my major job was just to inspire Mickey or insult Mickey until he did it really, really well.
Now, you shot this in New Jersey, to some degree also down by the shore.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that? Because was it just convenient, or is that a good wrestling area?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's these small wrestling promotions all over the country. I knew I wanted to do something around New York. Jersey just is, I grew up in Brooklyn, and it's kind of that landscape you're always driving through on the way to somewhere, but it's got its own kind of industrial beauty. And I think the film kind of takes advantage of it. It really kind of captures it. I mean, you know, you leave Manhattan and 15 minutes later, you're in something that's not that different than the rest of America.
And it's appropriate that the title song is by Bruce Springsteen, because Randy.
Yeah, there you go.
Randy lives in a New Jersey trailer park.
Yeah, yeah. Well, That was a great thing. You know, the boss was always kind of a patron saint over the movie because we were shooting in Asbury Park and we were in Jersey the whole time. And Mickey wrote Bruce a letter. They were old friends, and the boss actually did that song for free for us because he just wanted to help Mickey out and he wanted to support the film.
But it's a sure thing. It's going to get an Oscar nomination. So
who knows? But hopefully, sure.
You really feel that way? Who knows?
Well, you never know. These awards are strange things, you know? I mean, it all has to do with the timing. Like, you know, right now there's a blizzard in New York, and it's our opening weekend, so I'm terrified no one's going to come to the movies.
Well, Mick Foley, who's been on the show, a great wrestler in his own right, he just called in, and he reviewed the film for Slate, and he loved it.
I
hear you getting wonderful feedback from any number of the former wrestlers.
Yeah, at our premiere two nights ago in L.A., we actually had Rowdy Roddy Piper and Greg the Hammer Valentine and Brutus Beefcake and Ric Flair was there. And they were all very deeply touched. And we asked them to come in and we videoed them talking about the film, and we're actually going to put it out on the internet soon.
How is Mickey doing during the shoot? I gather he tore a ligament in his shoulder, injured his elbow and knee, needed 3 MRIs. And then there was that scene.
I never heard about the shoulder thing. That's new for me, that ligament.
Well, I read it. You know, you can't be sure that what you read on the internet is true.
Absolutely.
It also said that you were a serial killer. So
Mickey, it was very hard. I mean, he's an older guy, and he put on 35 pounds. And, you know, carrying around that weight actually is a tremendous thing on the body.
And then he cut him in one of the scenes. He did something that I gather wrestlers have been known to do. He cuts himself on his forehead with a hidden razor so that he'll come up bleeding.
Well, that's
that
kind
makes
of an
it
old
look
trick.
More effective.
Yeah, it's called gigging. And
you wind up with a scar as a result of that.
I think a very thin line, hairline scar. But they do it right at the base where the hair is, so you don't really see the scars. It's one of the kind of tricks of the trade that come up in the film.
Meanwhile, you said that you're worried about the weather. Well, people still go out to movies.
Do they?
In the weather, yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully.
I will tell you that everybody I know who's seen it has been moved by this film, but there is one scene that you may want to close your eyes.
Well, there's a something that really goes on in the world. It's a hardcore wrestling match, and I think it's infamously now known as the staple scene. So, yeah, if you get through that, you can close your eyes for it's about 10 seconds of intensity.
Where people are putting staples into each other's bodies.
Yeah, but if you get through that, people, I think, really connect to the whole film. But it shows the pain that these guys go through, and it's only the tip of the iceberg of what happens.
Very quickly, you have another film in the works?
Of course, but not talking about it yet, yeah.
Well, come by when it's finished.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Darren Aronofsky's latest is The Wrestler, which opened this past Wednesday to very fine reviews at Landmark Sunshine Cinema and the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks for having me, sir.